Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are immersing ourselves, really getting into a topic that's absolutely critical for anyone, you know, heading into a clinical environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the high stakes, often fast-paced world of VAC medication titration.
Yeah, this isn't just like book knowledge. This is where patient safety really happens, day in, day out.
Exactly. And we're specifically zeroing in on your sources, looking at the protocols, the complex calculations you need for managing these high alert medications. We'll use heparin as our main example today.
It's really the skill set, isn't it? It's what takes you from being a student in the classroom to having genuine clinical responsibility.
Right.
Because when we talk about titratable high alert meds, you're dealing with drugs that have this really, really narrow therapeutic window. Mm. The margin for error is just, well, it's razor thin.
So our mission today, what we want to give you is kind of a shortcut to getting this right. We need to move past just defining titration. Right. We need to nail down the three critical pillars for safe professional practice. First, deeply understanding and sticking to the provider's complex protocol.
Absolutely key.
Second, mastering the often overlooked piece, which is accurate lab timing.
Crucial. People forget that one sometimes.
And third, performing flawless weight-based calculations
every
single time.
And if you can really integrate those three protocol timing calculation into one smooth, reliable workflow, well, that's how you make sure the patient stays exactly where they need to be.
Stable.
Stable and right within that ordered therapeutic range. And that's the big difference. You know, standard meds might be time-based, just give it at 9 a.m. But critical titration like this, it's outcome-based, always.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's start with the foundation. What do you absolutely have to know? All right, let's start with a clear clinical definition. When we say titration into prescription, what is the nurse actually doing?
Okay, so a medication titration protocol. It's a specific type of order, almost always for an IV infusion. And what it does is it delegates the authority to the nursing staff to actually change the infusion dose.
Okay.
So titration just means the nurse changes the dose, the rate of that IV infusion, based on very specific ordered criteria. And the whole point is to maintain that therapeutic range. It's dynamic dosing, not static.
And those ordered criteria,
that's
what makes it tricky, right? You're not just bumping the pump rate because an hour passed.
Exactly. No.
You're adjusting the drip rate up or down to hit a specific measurable state, like a lab value or something you assess.
Right. And we usually break those criteria down into two main types. First, and this is what we'll focus on a lot today, are labs.
Like APTT?
Yeah, exactly. AVTT, PTT for anticoagulants like heparin. Could be anti-exad levels too, or glucose levels if you're running an insulin drip, you know, things you measure in the blood.
Okay. Labs. What's the second type?
The second type is assessments. So here you're titrating based on the patient's physical response, like adjusting a blood pressure medication based on their current BP and heart rate, or maybe tweaking a sedative like propofol based on how sedated they are, often using a tool, maybe like the RAS scale.
That's a good point about the jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Just for anyone learning, RAS is the Riker Sedation Agitation Scale.
Mm.
It's standard, helps you objectively measure how awake or sedated the patient is.
Right, from agitated right down to unarousable.
And that really highlights why titration needs constant critical thinking. You're not just following a schedule. You're reacting to the patient in real time based on these measurements.
Precisely. So if we look at the components of a valid titration prescription, it starts with the basics, right? The same four things you need for any provider order.
Medication name, route, dose, and time. And for starting time, it's usually just no W.
Usually no W for the start, yeah.
Right.
But for a titration protocol, you need way more detail because the nurse is essentially becoming the dosage regulator, but within very strict rules set by that protocol.
So what are those extra pieces, the must-haves that make it a full protocol, not just a standard order?
Okay, you need four more things explicitly laid out. First, the starting dose, very important. You need to know, is it weight-based? Like 15 units per kilogram per hour. We'll focus a lot on that today.
Mm.
Or is it non-weight based? Like just a flat 15 milligrams per hour.
Mm-hmm.
This tells you how to do your first calculation.
Got it. Starting dose. What's second?
Second is the frequency of change. This is about time.
Mm.
How often can you adjust the dose? For some fast-acting drugs, in really acute situations, it might be every hour. Or even, you know, every 5 minutes for certain meds. Depends on the drug.
Okay, frequency. Third.
Third, and this is really where the action is. The parameter measures. This is the specific lab result, like, say, an APTT of 38 seconds.
Yeah.
Or it's an assessment finding, like a blood pressure of 85 over 50.
The trigger.
Yes. This gives you the criteria. It tells you exactly when and why you need to either increase or decrease that infusion.
Makes sense. And the last one?
And finally, the change amount. This is the specific number you use to figure out the new dose. Does the protocol say increase by 2 units per kilogram per hour? Or maybe decrease by 0.5 milligrams per minute?
The actual instruction.
Right. Without that defined amount, you can't actually do anything, even if the patient's lab or assessment meets the criteria for a change.
That clarity is just essential.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about something that can trip people up, the difference between bolus orders versus continuous infusions.
Oh, yeah. This is a huge safety point, a real pitfall, even for nurses who've been around a while.
Okay.
See, titratable meds often need an initial rapid dose first. That's the IV bolus. It gets the drug level up quickly in the blood.
Right, the loading dose.
Exactly. And the absolute critical rule here is these bolus doses are separate administrations. They are not added to the hourly infusion rate. You do not mix them into the main IV bag.
Okay, why is that so critical? Let's say a new nurse did accidentally program the pump to deliver the bolus volume plus the regular hourly rate. What's the immediate danger?
Immediate overdose.
Yeah.
Simple as that. If you add that rapid loading dose volume, say it's 10 milligrams of concentrated drug, into a pump that's supposed to be running at like 5 milligrams per hour,
oh,
you're not just adding 10 milligram one time. You just massively, catastrophically change the concentration of the drug the patient gets drip by drip over the next hour, maybe longer.
Wow. Okay.
The whole point of the bolus is speed. Get it in fast. It's totally separate from the controlled, steady maintenance drip that comes after.
Your source material had a good example with amiodarone, right?
Right.
Like a provider might order 150 milligram bolus over 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by a maintenance infusion starting at 1 milligram per minute.
Exactly. They're ordered together, maybe, but you execute them sequentially, separately. Bolus first, get that done. Then you calculate and start the main infusion rate. Different calculations, different pump settings, different timing.
Different purposes, different math, different techniques.
Exactly.
Okay, now here's where it gets, as you said, really interesting. This is what we're calling the protocol mindset, the crucial caveat. This is what separates safe practice from just following steps without thinking.
Right, because the whole goal of titration is staying in that therapeutic range, right? So there's this quote, and it really needs to stick in your head.
Okay.
Just because the time comes you can titrate a medication doesn't mean you will titrate the medication. Look at the criteria parameters.
Wow, okay. All caps emphasis needed there.
Absolutely needed, because it hammers home the point. The criteria always, always override the clock.
So even if the protocol says adjust every hour, if your patient's blood pressure or their ATT is already bang on target,
you do nothing. You hold steady. Adhering to the clinical criteria, the lab value, the assessment, always trumps the fact that another hour just went by.
And if you don't follow that, well, if you adjust just because it's time,
you push the patient out of that safe therapeutic window. You either make their medicine ineffective because the dose is now too low, or you push them towards toxicity because it's too high. Honestly, probably the most common error in titration is adjusting a dose that didn't need adjusting, just because the clock said you could.
Okay, now that we've dissected the protocol itself, let's zoom in on the drug that probably tests these skills most often, heparin. We need to understand what it does before we can figure out how to regulate its dosing, right?
Absolutely. Heparin is really the classic example of a high-alert titratable drug. It's a fast-acting anticoagulant, and its core mechanism, well, it doesn't actually dissolve existing clots.
Oh, interesting. So what does it do?
It works by inactivating several existing clotting factors in your blood. By basically neutralizing those factors, it prevents new clots from forming, and it stops any clots that are already there from getting bigger.
Okay, so it prevents worsening. And we usually use it IV for titration, but sometimes subcutaneous too.
Right. Four is for the immediate therapeutic effect we need to titrate carefully. Sub-Q is usually more for prophylaxis, preventing clots in the first place.
And what are the main clinical indications? When do we need this kind of intense management with IV heparin?
It's really the go-to for treating active thromboembolic problems. Things like a pulmonary embolism, a PE.
Yep.
Or a deep vein thrombosis, DVT. Also for various types of arterial thrombosis, whether that's in the legs, the heart, or the brain, like in certain strokes. And because these are acute situations, speed is key.
How fast does it work?
IV heparin acts immediately. That's its big advantage in emergencies. The sub-Q kind, that takes maybe 20 to 30 minutes to kick in, much slower.
Okay. Now, given it messes with the body's clotting so profoundly, it's obviously labeled a high alert medication.
Oh, absolutely. Mandatory. The Institute for Safe Medication Practices, ISMP, flags these meds because they carry a heightened risk of causing significant patient harm if you make an error.
And the main risk, the primary side effect, is pretty obvious.
Bleeding, yeah. Excessive bleeding, bruising. That's what you're watching for most closely. But there's another serious complication, rarer but devastating, called heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, or HIT.
Can you just briefly explain HIT? It's not just that the platelets drop, is it?
No, it's much more dangerous than that. HIT is actually an immune reaction. Heparin triggers the body to make antibodies that attack its own platelets. So paradoxically, you get a low platelet count and a really high risk of forming new blood clots.
Wow. So it causes the problem it's supposed to treat in a way.
In a very dangerous immune-mediated way, yes. It's severe, potentially life-threatening. That's why monitoring platelet counts daily, watching for big drops, is such a critical nursing task with heparin.
Okay. Safety also means knowing the countermeasure. The antidote for heparin. Non-negotiable knowledge.
Protamine sulfate. Absolutely have to know it. Honestly, you need to know the antidote for every high alert med you give. If a critical bleed happens, you need to be able to reverse that anticoagulation effect fast.
Got it. Protamine sulfate. Okay, now let's get to the regulation. How do we manage this? Heparin is usually ordered in units per kilogram per hour, units there. We obviously can't just eyeball the patient to see if it's working.
Right. You need a lab test. The primary regulator, the main lab we use for monitoring IV heparin therapy, is the activated partial thromboplastin time, or APTT.
APTT. Okay. What does that actually measure?
It measures how quickly the blood clots through a specific pathway in the whole clotting cascade. It gives us a pretty accurate number reflecting the level of anticoagulation from the heparin.
And this is where those ranges become critical. Too fast clotting means risk of thrombosis. Too slow means risk of hemorrhage.
Exactly. So the normal range for ATTT in someone not on heparin is usually around, say, 25 to 30 seconds.
Okay.
But when a patient is on a therapeutic heparin drip, we want their blood to clot more slowly. We're aiming for controlled anticoagulation. The standard therapeutic range we shoot for is 45 to 70 seconds.
45 to 70 seconds. That's the target zone.
Right. If their APTT is below 45, it's clotting too fast. That's subtherapeutic. Risk of clots. If it's above 70, it's clotting too slowly, super therapeutic. High risk of bleeding.
Okay, 45 to 70. Now, this brings us to probably the most critical nursing part of the protocol.
Yeah.
The lab timing. You said this is where discipline meets danger. Miss this timing.
And you break the whole feedback loop. The patient could spend hours outside that safe therapeutic window, either clotting or bleeding.
So what's the rule?
This is the absolute crux of it. When you start heparin, or anytime you make any dose change up or down, the protocol dictates the APTT must be drawn 6 hours after that dose change.
6 hours. Okay.
And you keep doing that every 6 hours until the patient is consistently within that 45 to 70 second therapeutic range. Once they're stable in range, the checks might become less frequent, maybe daily, depending on the protocol.
Yeah, but initially.
Every 6 hours after every change.
Why 6 hours specifically? Why not 4 or 8?
Good question. It takes about 6 hours, which is roughly 4 to 5 half-lives of IV heparin, for the drug concentration in the patient's blood to reach a new steady state after you change the infusion rate.
Oh, okay.
So if you draw the lab before 6 hours, say at hour 4, you're mostly measuring the effect of the old rate, not the new one you just set. Your result won't be accurate, and you'll make a bad decision about the next adjustment.
And if you wait too long, like 8 hours...
then the patient has potentially spent 2 extra hours either being under anticoagulated and risking a clot, or over anticoagulated and risking a bleed. That 6 hour mark is based on the drug's pharmacokinetics.
That really grounds the rule in patient safety.
Okay.
Okay, so the nurse programs the pump, documents the time meticulously, sets a reminder for 6 hours later.
Yep. And here's the vital link. You cannot titrate the medication again until that 6 hour lab is drawn, resulted, and you've reviewed it against the protocol's instructions for that specific APTT value.
So the nurse is responsible for making sure the lab actually gets drawn and the result comes back in time.
Absolutely. Ensuring the lab draw happens, chasing the result if needed, that all falls under nursing responsibility to keep the titration cycle going safely.
Uh-huh.
If the lab draw is late or the result is delayed, the decision gets delayed, patient safety is potentially compromised. It's this whole administrative and clinical challenge rolled into one.
Okay, let's switch gears now from the why and when of protocols to the how of the math. This is where, you know, the rubber meets the road.
Definitely.
We need to apply those weight-based calculations. This is the core skill, honestly, for safe practice. We should probably walk through this slowly. Dimensional analysis is your friend here, right? Speed can be the enemy.
Absolutely. Accuracy is everything. And before we even start punching numbers, let's just quickly revisit those rounding rules from the sources. These are pretty standard clinically.
Okay.
First, the patient's weight. It must be rounded to the nearest whole number when you're using kilograms.
The number for kilos. Got it.
Second, the final administered volume, what you actually draw up or program into the pump in milliliters, ml, that must be rounded to the nearest tenth.
Okay. Nearest tenth for ml. Why the tenth?
Because most modern IV infusion pumps, the ones you'll be using, they only let you program the rate to one decimal place. So rounding to the tenth matches the pump's capability and ensures accuracy.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, let's run through example one, initial bolus calculation.
All right, scenario. The order reads, heparin the fifth bolus, 70 units per kilogram. Give it now. Your patient weighs 247 pounds.
Okay, first step always, convert pounds to kilograms, 247 pounds. Divide by 2.2, that's 112.27, so 112.3 kilograms.
Right, 112.3 kilograms. Now apply rounding rule number one.
Weight to the nearest whole number. 112.3 rounds down to 112 kilograms.
Yeah. See,
that's the weight we use for all calculations for this patient from now on.
Perfect. Now, let's say the heparin concentration available for the bolus is 10,000 units in 10 ml.
All right, 10,000 units per 10 ml. That simplifies to 1,000 units per ml, right? It does, yeah. Good catch. So let's break the calculation into two steps.
Uh-huh.
Find the total units needed first.
Okay.
Step one, calculate total units needed. We take the order dose, 70 units, and multiply by our patient's rounded weight, 112 kilograms. So 70 times 112 equals 7,840 units.
Great. That's the amount of heparin drug the patient needs. Now, step two, convert those units into a volume, into ml, using our available concentration.
Okay. Step two, convert units to volume, ml. We need 7,840 units. The concentration is 1,000 units per ml. Mm. So we divide the needed units by the concentration. 7,840 units divided by 1,000 units ml.
And the units cancel out, leaving you with ml.
Right, which gives us 7.84 mL.
Excellent. Now, the final crucial step.
Right.
Rounding rule number two.
Volume to the nearest tenth. 7.84 mL rounds down to 7.8 mL. So the nurse draws up exactly 7.8 mL for the bolus.
Precisely. And think about it. If you'd rounded wrong, maybe up to 7.9 mBq. That's an extra 0.06 millibel of a 1,000 unit ml solution. Oh, wait, hold on. 7.84 rounds to 7.8. If you use the 10,000 10 millibel, 7,840 units, 10,000 units equals 7.84 millibel. Still 7.8 millibel. Okay, good. But if you had made a calculation error and got, say, 7.9 millibel, yeah, you'd be giving extra drug. Precision matters.
Okay. Bolus calculated and given. Now, immediately after, we need the initial infusion calculation for the same patient, still 112 kilograms.
Right. The order is start heparin infusion at 13 units CAC. Now, pay attention. The available concentration for the infusion bag is often different. Let's say it's heparin sodium, 25,000 units and 250 millimeters of fluid.
Okay, 25,000 units and 250 millibel. Let me simplify that. 25,000 divided by 250, that's 100 units per ml. Different concentration than the bolus vial.
Exactly. Very common. Always check the bag concentration. So we need to find the final rate in milliliters per hour, mLHR, to set the pump. Again, two steps. First, total units per hour.
Okay. Step one, calculate total units per hour. Ordered rate is 13 units per. Patient weight is 112 kilograms. So 13 times 112 equals 1,456 units per hour. That's how much drug they need every hour.
Perfect. Now, step two, convert units to volumer. mLEiter. We use our infusion bag concentration, which we figured out is 100 units per ml.
So we take the units per hour, 1,456, and divide by the concentration, 100 units FLS. 1,456 divided by 100 is 14.56 milliliter ARR.
Excellent. And the final step?
Rounding. Volume to the nearest tenth. 14.56 milliliter rounds up to 14.6 milliliter NAR. That's the rate you program into the infusion pump.
Exactly. And again, if you programmed 14.5 milliliter NAR, you'd be slightly underdosing the patient, potentially keeping them subtherapeutic, risking clots, just because of a tiny rounding error. Every detail counts.
That walkthrough really shows it. The math itself isn't crazy complex. It's multiplication and division. But the risk is in using the wrong weight, the wrong concentration, or rounding incorrectly. Okay, let's try another one. A high-dose protocol scenario.
Okay. High-dose protocols are often used when someone has a really serious active clot, like a massive PE. So the starting doses are more aggressive. Let's say the protocol is bolus 80 units tall and start the infusion at 18 units quart.
All right. And we have a different patient this time. Weight is 84.7 kilograms.
First step.
Weight conversion and rounding. 84.7 kilograms. Nearest whole number is 85 kilograms. That's our weight for this whole scenario.
Perfect. Okay. For the high-dose bolus, 80 units goal. Let's say the available concentration for this bolus is, again, 1,000 units ml.
Okay, step one. Calculate total bolus units. 80 units grams times 85 kilograms equals 6,800 units.
Good. Step two, convert to volume ml.
We need 6,800 units. Concentration is 1,000 units in ml. So 6,800 divided by 1,000 equals 6.8 milligrams. It's already the 10th place. So the bolus is 6.8 milligrams.
Exactly right. Now for the high dose infusion, 18 units gore. But watch out. Let's say the infusion bag concentration this time is 25,000 units and 500 millimol.
Ooh, different again. 25,000 units and 500 millimol. Okay, 25,000 divided by 500. That's 50 units per ml. Half as concentrated as the last example's infusion bag.
Right. See how crucial it is to check. Okay, calculate the rate. Step one. Total units per hour.
Order is 18 units weight. Weight is 85 kilograms. So 18 times 85 equals 1,530 units weight.
Good. Step two, convert to volumer MLHR using the correct concentration.
Okay, 1,530 units rate divided by our concentration of 50 units ml. 1,530 divided by 50 equals 30.6 MLHR.
And rounding.
Already the 10th. So the pump rate is 30.6 MLHR.
Perfect. And the huge takeaway here is, always, always, always verify the concentration of the solution you're using, both for bolus and infusion. If you'd used the 100 units ml math from the last example on this 50 units MLA bag, you would have cut the patient's dose in half instantly. Major risk.
Okay, we've got the protocol rules, we've got the math skills practice, now we have to put it all together. This is the real deal, the moment-to-moment management that defines critical care nursing. Managing that therapeutic range, 45 to 70 seconds for APTT, and sticking to that rigid six-hour lab check.
Yeah, this is it. You know, the real challenge in practice often isn't doing that first calculation when things are calm. It's getting that lab result back at 2 a.m., seeing it's way off, and having to respond instantly and accurately under pressure.
Right. Okay, let's dive into a low-dose titration scenario. Imagine the patient is subtherapeutic. We'll use our first patient again, the one weighing 112 kilograms. Remember, they started their infusion at 1,000 hours, running at 14.6 millilitre, so 6 hours later.
It's around 1,600, yeah. The lab needs to be drawn. Let's say the result comes back at 1,648 and the APTT is 38.9
seconds. 38.9
seconds.
Okay, our target is 45 to 70. So 38.9 is too low, subtherapeutic, their blood is clotting too fast.
Correct. They're not adequately anticoagulated. They need an increase in their heparin dose.
Okay. The nurse looks at the protocol for an APTT under 45. Let's assume the protocol says increase infusion rate by 2 units. Remember, they started at 13 units initially.
Right. So step one, determine the new dose in units. They were at 13. We add 2. So the new target dose is 15 units gore.
Okay. Now we need the new pump rate in MLHR. Step two, calculate total uniture for this new dose. 15 units car times our patient weight. 112 kilograms equals 1,680 uniture.
Good. Step three, calculate the new MLHR rate. We need to remember the concentration of their infusion bag. That was the 25,000 units and 250 millilitre, which was 100 units in L.
Right. So 1,680 uniture divided by 100 units CML equals 16.8 millilitre.
And rounding.
Already at the 10th. So the nurse reprograms the pump to 16.8 millilitre.
Okay.
Crucial question. What happens to the timing clock now?
It resets immediately. The moment you change that rate on the pump, the six-hour countdown starts again. So if the nurse finished reprogramming at, say, 1,700...
The next APTT is due precisely 6 hours later at 2,300.
Exactly. Every single dose adjustment, doesn't matter how small, restarts that six-hour timer until the patient is stable within the therapeutic range. It's this constant cycle. Requires real vigilance.
Okay, now let's fast forward. It's nearing 2,300. Time for the next check, but this time,
yeah,
let's look at the supertherapeutic or critical value scenario.
All right. So the next lab is drawn around 2,300. The result pops up on the screen at 2,342, and it's a critical value, 90.9 seconds.
Whoa. Okay, 90.9. Target is 4570. That is way above the 70-second max. The patient's blood is way too thin. Huge risk for bleeding, right? Like spontaneous bleeding.
Absolutely. Hemorrhage risk is very high. Could be anywhere. GI tract, retroperitoneal space, even, God forbid, intracranial. This is a code red moment.
Okay. Adrenaline's pumping. Critical decision time. Before we even think about the math to lower the dose, what is the absolute first thing the nurse must do when the APTT is critically high like this, usually defined as over, what, 85 or 90 seconds?
The mandatory first step, and it's baked into almost every single heparin protocol out there, is stop the heparin infusion immediately.
Just pause the pump.
Hit pause. Stop the drug from going in. You need to let the body's natural clotting mechanisms start to recover slightly. While it's paused, You're immediately notifying the provider, maybe drawing stat labs like a CBC to check hemoglobin and hematocrit for any signs of active bleeding, and you're preparing for the next step, which will be restarting at a lower dose.
Okay, stop the drip first. Let's say the protocol says, if APTT90SEC, hold infusion for 1 hour, then decrease rate by 4 units. Our patient was running at 15 units before we stopped it.
Right. So after that 1 hour hold is complete, we calculate the new lower rate. Step one, determine new dose in unit SCARV. They were at 15, we decreased by 4. New target dose is 11 units SCARV.
Okay. Step two, calculate total units. 11 units SCARV times 112 kilograms equals 1,232 units SCARV.
Okay. Step three, calculate new MLEHR rate, still using their 100 units ML concentration bag.
Right. 1,232 units divided by 100 units MLH equals 12.32 milliliters R.
Final step.
Rounding to the 10. 12.32 becomes 12.3 milliliters R. So after the hour hold, the nurse restarts the pump at this lower rate.
Precisely. And what happens to the clock?
Resets again. Next to PTT, do 6 hours after the pump is restarted at 12.3 milliliters R.
You got it. And this constant dance, stopping, holding, calculating, restarting, documenting the whole time, meticulously, this is why heparin management is so demanding, requires incredible attention to detail.
Okay, just to complete the picture, what if, after that adjustment down to 12.3 milliliters, the next ABTT comes back beautiful? Let's say it's 55 seconds.
55 seconds, that's perfect. Right smack in the middle of our 45 to 70 second therapeutic range.
So what does the protocol say now?
The protocol for an in-range result is usually no change, make no adjustments.
Ah, back to the protocol mindset.
Exactly. You simply document the result, document that the rate is continuing unchanged at 12.3 milliohr, and reset the clock for the next APTT draw in another 6 hours. This is the goal state. Resist the urge to tinker when the criteria say stay put.
Right. The protocol gives you a ceiling, a floor, and a safe zone in the middle. Your patient is in the zone. Don't mess with it. Okay. Last scenario. Maybe the most complex, the high-dose titration, requiring a rebolus. Let's go back to our second patient, the 85-kilogram one on the high-dose protocol.
Okay. Remember, their initial infusion was started at 30.6 mL-LHR, which was 18 units. 6 hours later, the first APTT result comes back, 43.8 seconds.
43.8 seconds. Okay. Target 45-70. Still subtherapeutic. Close, but not quite there.
Right. And in these aggressive high-dose protocols, when you're just below target like this, the protocol often doesn't just say increase the drip. It frequently mandates giving another smaller bolus dose, a quick IV push.
A rebolus.
Yeah, a rebolus to bump the blood level up quickly and increasing the maintenance drip rate simultaneously.
Okay, more steps involved. Let's follow the example calculation exercise for this APTT level. Let's say the protocol for an APT of 44.9 seconds is rebolus with 40 units grain, AND increase infusion rate by 3 units.
Okay. Patient is 85 kilograms. Let's assume that the bolus concentration available is still 1,000 units at ML. First, calculate the rebolus.
Okay. Step one, calculate required rebolus units. 40 units glass times 85 kilograms equals 3,400 units.
Good. Step two, convert bolus units to ML.
3,400 units needed. Concentration is 1,000 units ML. So 3,400 divided by 1,000. 3.4 millimol, already at the 10th.
Right. So the nurse draws up and administers that 3.4 millibol to bolus dose immediately as an IV push.
Okay.
Separate from the pump, gets that drug level up fast. Now, simultaneously, we need to adjust the infusion rate. The patient was running at 18 units.
And the protocol said increased by 3 units. So step one, determine new infusion dose. 18 plus 3 equals 21 units cut.
Okay. Step two, calculate total units for this new dose. 21 units times 85 kilograms equals 1,785 units.
Good. Step three, calculate the final new infusion rate, MLHR. Now, we must remember the concentration for this patient's high-dose infusion bag. That was the 25,000 units in 500 milliliters.
Which was?
50 units per ml. Got to use the right one. Okay, so 1,785 units divided by 50 units MLA equals 35.7 milliliters.
And rounding.
Already there. The new pump rate is 35.7 milliliters.
Perfect. And this scenario just perfectly shows how titration can be more complex than just tweaking the drip rate. It might involve a whole separate bolus calculation and administration on top of the rate change. That rebolus needs absolute precision. Get that decimal wrong, you've failed the safety check, and of course,
the 6 hour clock starts ticking again right after you program that new 35.7 milliliter rate.
You got it. It's the full picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Adhering to the criteria, adhering to the timing, and being deadly accurate with the math, all working together in this constant loop until you finally achieve stable, therapeutic anticoagulation. Hashtag tag outro.
Wow. Okay. That was definitely a deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground from the structure of the protocol to the nitty gritty math.
We have. And just to sort of summarize the key takeaways for you, the learner listening to this, we've really established that succeeding with titration, especially high alert meds like heparin, it hinges completely on three things. One, the clear structure provided by the provider's protocol. You have to follow it exactly. Yeah. Two, that strict timing of the lab draws that APTT every 6 hours after any change until therapeutic is non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And three, absolute unwavering accuracy in your weight-based conversions, your concentration checks, and your final volume calculations, including that crucial rounding.
Yeah, and this knowledge, this deep dive, it really is your shortcut to mastering what is truly a high-stakes clinical skill.
Yeah.
Knowing what the protocol says.
Yeah.
That's only half of it, isn't it?
Only half. The other half is flawless execution. The math, the timing, the assessment. If you're off by just one decimal point in your calculation, or you're an hour late drawing that critical lab,
you're potentially moving that patient right out of the safe zone and into danger.
Either clotting or bleeding.
Exactly. It really forces you to think beyond just your immediate task at the bedside, doesn't it? You have to consider the whole environment, the whole system you're working in.
That actually raises a really interesting final thought, something provocative maybe for our listeners to chew on.
If those lab draws must happen reliably, and the results must get back within that 6 hour window, so the nurse can actually make the next titration decision, what kind of complex systems does a hospital or a unit need to have in place?
Good question.
Think about it. Dedicated phlebotomy, maybe. Super rapid lab processing. Electronic alerts built into the charting system. What needs to be there to make sure that a nurse can realistically and reliably meet that critical 6 hour window for every single patient on one of these titratable drips? Because you get multiple patients needing this at once.
That's such a crucial point. Because without that robust system support, the timely lab draws, the quick results reporting, the clear communication pathways, the protocol itself, no matter how well written, just becomes words on paper. And the full weight of ensuring safety under those difficult conditions falls entirely, and maybe unfairly, right back onto the individual nurse at the bedside. So think about that interplay next time you're programming that pump rate. That system efficiency, or lack thereof, can literally be the difference between your patient forming a dangerous clot or having a dangerous bleed. It's not just about your math, it's about the whole process working together.